Spirits work. You are a doorway to other dimensions. You are key to life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvia.
I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirits Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world. But my husband, Mick, deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show, we're going to be talking about energy in the spirit world. Well, actually, all sorts of energy. Energy is energy, after all. So basically, if you have a question relating to our subject, it's not readings, okay, but we'd love to hear from you if you have a question relating to our subject today. The number is toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. But the international call isn't free, but it'll only be a quick call. Okay, so anyway, we'd love to hear from anybody who wants to comment in any way.
Yes. Hi, I'm McAvey. As well as Spirits Work on the wonderful and ever-present BBS radio on every Monday at 7 p.m. and every Thursday at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, please do go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com and also at spiritsworkradio.com. What we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show. And I'm not going to know about anything else that happens during this time because my spirit and my consciousness are actually transported to somewhere else. Actually, they use an ether world stroke physical mechanism to do this, which they actually use Sylvie's energy to make this happen. And what that is kind of like a staging post, if you like, so that when my spirit leaves, when my spirit and consciousness leave my physical body, it goes first of all to this energy cyclone thing, the vortex that they've built, and is then transported somewhere else, and spirit guy Gregory Hay comes in that way as well. And actually, when it was being formed during my development over about, about a year period, when it was first developed, people could actually see parts of it. They could actually see the rotating energy in the vortex because of the little bits of color and like dust, like particles that were caught up in it during the seance sitting that went on. Anyway, like I say, do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work and what we do and what we have to say. I'm going to say goodbye for now, and it should only take a few seconds or moments, I suppose, for Gregory to come through. Anyway, have a nice time. Have a nice day. Bye.
Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. And now he comes back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. White Cloud Group, whom he represents, performed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. I'd just like to say that if anybody in the Portland area would like to come along to our workshop on Sunday, we are going to be doing an all-day workshop from 11 till 5 at Selwood, at Spirit Feathers Boutique. And we're going to be experiencing and learning about the trance phenomena. So students will be participating in a meditation, different various meditations and exercises, experiences, altered states of awareness and consciousness, as is comfortable for each individual. So anyway, we're going to have lots of fun. We've got lots of fun things to do, and we're just going to have a great time, I know. So it's 11 till 5, Selwood Spirit Feathers. If you're interested, do get in touch with us. You can't just turn up, but you can book a place too. So on our website, which is spirit-teaching.com, there's an email, enq@spirit-teaching.com. We've also got a new VO, a new video up on our website as well for you to watch Gregory in action. It's on YouTube and VO. Anyway, hello, Gregory. I'm yodeling at you again. My voice keeps going.
Hello, dear friend.
Hello.
It's nothing light. Yes.
Lovely to have you.
Yes, thank you. And of course, that actual experience you are having at the moment is because of the energy which is around you and the energy that we are using, which is actually why it happens that a lot of the time that we do these programs with you, you actually find that your voice goes completely awry on you as we are coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually because of the energy that we use from you, the physical energy that we draw from you in order to be able to make our appearance in this way.
Yes. So, how does that work?
Well, how that actually works, my friend, is because of the fact that you were actually linked to the vortex in the first place, that is, at the time when we were developing our dear friend here, that actually what we were doing was that we were, if you remember, we were drawing from the energy of all of the sitters who were in the room, and as that was their part that they had to play. And that, of course, was their free will experience. That doesn't mean to say that we were like energy vampires or anything like that, but we needed their energy in order to be able to facilitate the mechanism, bringing about the mechanism of the vortex that we knew that we had to have in place in order for the situation to become more viable for, I suppose, really for myself and others to be able to use it to talk through. Now, I am well aware that people may think, well, yes, but you used their energy. You actually used it up and that would mean then that people would feel very depleted after the situation. But, of course, that wasn't the case at all, because actually what we did was we only borrowed the energy. We borrowed the energy to facilitate a certain situation whereby we could use their spiritual energy, their love, their loving-kind vibration that they sent to our dear friend here whilst he was sitting in a cabinet, and they were actually sending their energy to him in the form of love. And that energy then was enabled to transport that affection from a physical emotion into a spiritual one. And that is what the spirit world are able to do, is transform your physical emotion into your spiritual behavior. This, of course, is what you do as a being when you are meditating. You are transporting your love vibration within a self, and you are raising your vibration. Therefore, you are delivering your spiritual energy into the heights of acceptance in the spirit world, and at the same time, you're raising your vibration by doing that. By being a more loving being, you're raising your vibration, of course. And this means that your energy is accentuated, is moving as a waveform, if you like, at a faster rate, so that there are more waves per second which come from you, which is why you feel that when you perhaps you are in the company of someone who is speaking eloquently, or when you are in the company of someone who is a very spiritual person, that they actually glow. And the reason why they glow is because of their spiritual energy and their vibration index, if you like, which has arisen because of the love within them. And this becomes a spiritual superior energy in that respect. So what actually you have and what you experience is not just purely on a physical level, but on a completely universal level of spiritual love in that respect.
Okay.
So what happened then was that the people who were actually bringing about our dear friend here's development, that what was happening was that they were sending their energy into the cabinet, and which was, of course, as those of you who know of a cabinet, that's a large box about the size of a wardrobe, I understand, and that you actually, as a budding medium, would sit in this cabinet, and that is there to entrap the energies which you, as sitters, are sending to the medium. This is a way, really, of concentrating that energy and making sure that any physical properties the medium may have, when I say physical properties, I'm saying possibilities perhaps of ectoplasmic use or something like that, that actually what is happening is that the love and intention is being sent to the medium, and therefore it's heightening the ability of that person through the exchange of love with the physical form, the medium of the physical form, and that it's actually firing off certain pheromonic activity and chemical reaction to that love that you are giving them, which is, in fact, heightening their experience and actually making possible that they have an out-of-body experience. So what we are actually able to do with the vortex itself is that we... in fact, in the construction of the vortex, what we did was we took that love and that we made it into a possibility of rotating it with our own experiments that we had been doing in the spirit world. Don't forget that when you sit for a person in this way, in a seance room or in a room where you are trying to bring about a development for a specific use of a physical being, then what you're actually doing is you're opening up to the spirit world. When you say your invocation, you're opening up to the spirit world and inviting them to actually manufacture, bring about a kind of a diasis, if you like, a diasis upon which to sit you. And that is what actually takes place in the spirit world, is that we place you upon this diasis so that we can actually see and observe what is taking place as a sort of a holographic image, but actually it's in real-time memory in the spirit world, because of course everything is. And that what actually happens is that at the actual point that it's taking place in the physical world, so it's taking place in the spirit world at the same time. And what we're actually doing as well is that we are actually able to interject in from different dimensions of space and time in order to bring about perhaps information, or to actually talk about it and discuss what is actually happening at this time. And this is exactly what's going on at this moment in time. There's a lot of chatter going on within various different peoples who are present at this time. So we actually use our energy as well to rotate the vortex, which exists just a few feet away from our dear friend here at the right-hand side, and in between our delightful companion here, Little Bird, who is actually using her energy, and we are utilizing her energy in a very spiritual way, so that the energy of the combined two plus our energy enables the vortex to rotate, which enables us to be able to have a much closer experience to the physical vehicle that we are trying to control. That is, control in the way of using the physical mouth parts and the tongue and the saliva, of course. If we didn't control all of that, then we would be overrun with saliva and he'd be drooling like a fool. Of course, we have to not have that sort of situation going about. Yes, so obviously as well we control the hands and the arms and much of the upper body. At times we control the legs as well, but it's not necessary during a program like this because we are not being seen, we are just being heard. So we concentrate upon really the mechanism of reflexive action, which is to do with these situations. And how we do this is to actually send electrical impulses to the brain to actually emit the same neurological situations and standpoints that would normally happen during his physical life. And of course, this means that we are able to bring about certain situations and do them quite adequately, even though we actually don't use the eyes at all. The eyes are always shut in a complete this form of physical mediumship in this respect, because that is the way of it. We don't need them. We can see you all quite clearly. And, of course, we can also see the people who make contact with you and make calls with you. You see, we can see them, see what they're doing and that kind of thing, and what their responses are to certain situations that we may be bringing about. So that is really to do with spirit energy interacting in the physical voyage of your lives, if you like, in a very specific way, like this, in this kind of interaction. What also may perhaps be pertinent to this situation of energy in the spirit world is really, of course, how we actually bring about energy to do with, shall we say, someone, a loved one, who wishes to make contact with a loved one in the physical world, and they do so through a medium. So how does that loved one actually show themselves as a physical being, if that medium, of course, has the faculty to actually be able to receive an image in the first place from someone in the spirit world?
Good point.
And actually, my dear friend, how we do this is that we understand that the person needs to make this contact, and their love direction toward the person, shall we say then, this is the medium in this respect, the love interest that comes toward the person that they want to make contact with in the physical world, what's actually happening is that there are two different ways of using this. It may be that the contact is direct, that is, that the loved one in the spirit world is making direct contact with the medium in the shape, perhaps, of the physical situation that they had in physical life. And what actually happens here is that, of course, they use their cellular memory of their ears, their hair, their eyes, their face, and all of that. All the physical memory that they had of that time from their cellular interactivity with their spirit, what they're actually doing is they're using that form of memory, and that it's actually being brought across by the spirit world, by that person's love toward the person that they want him to make contact with or her to make contact with, so that the medium can actually pick it up. And this is actually what happens. Now, if you have someone, a medium, who has not been very well trained or is not used to seeing these images, it may well be that the images are a little bit blurred or that they're very fleeting. It may be that the energy of the spirit is very fleeting, and so that too could have a difficulty for the impaction of the image upon the medium's mind. That doesn't mean to say that they're actually coming to him necessarily in a physical way, although of course they may do. But usually this kind of interaction is with I suppose you would probably call it a psychic ability, but we need to move away from that because psychic is actually looking at a different energy, and we'll deal with that another time. The point is that what you are actually looking at and observing is a clairvoyant, and a clairvoyant is someone who sees images brought through from the spirit world. Now, It may be that this is the case, that it's actually from directly from the loved one. It may be, on the other hand, that as with many mediums on your side of life, they actually interact in a proxy way. So that means to say that what they're dealing with is perhaps they have two fellows or one fellow or whatever in the spirit world who actually act as go-betweens between the spirit loved one who wishes to make contact with someone else in the physical world. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so actually what happens there is that the spirit of the loved one actually makes contact with, shall we say, it's two people who are working on behalf of the medium, and these two people actually bring about the image, and then the toward the two people who are still in the spirit world, and then those two people will actually conduct the image through to the medium, as they will actually be perhaps a more stabling influence in that respect.
Like the go-between, the platform.
Yes. Yes, quite so. And they will do exactly the same thing, perhaps, as to do with what the person is saying. It may well be that the loved one is actually saying themselves that I'm trying to, whatever the information is they're trying to put across. Sometimes, of course, it can, the actual sounds can happen in quite a haphazard way. And you might well have situations where the loved one is trying to say one thing and the medium reinterprets it being something else, because quite simply their minds are getting in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And because the mind gets in the way, then that means the energy is refused in the purest way that it can be. So in a sense, this is how this is ways of using energy, but how we actually do this is by the extreme concentration of love in the spirit world, because of the need of the person who wishes to make contact from the spirit world to the physical reality, and we use that love between them actually to make the connection happen. And that's what we do. We actually use that love as an energy platform, and then that enables the extreme situation of, shall we say, a person in spirit reality actually making themselves physically known in that respect, even though it's just a fleeting image. It's an image which stays for a long time for the medium themselves. There is one other situation that I will briefly move through, and that actually is to do with the energy, what actually makes the energy happen of someone, shall we say, in the spirit world who actually wants to make themselves physically present in the physical world. This is something which takes an incredible amount of energy. It may be energy of a positive form, or this energy may well be also an energy of a negative form. Equally, it will take a great deal of energy to make this happen. So, what actually can happen here is that you would have either great amounts of positivity and love, and that's the reason why, shall we say, the loved one comes through. How many times have you heard it, perhaps, that people known to you will say, oh yes, well, my mother passed in such and such a date, and I saw them a week later. And you may see them at the foot of your bed, or suddenly sitting beside you in your motor car while you are driving along, or something like that. And it just happens for a few seconds, and then it's gone. And that situation takes an incredible amount of love from the spirit world over to the physical reality. And actually what that is doing is it's a culmination, I suppose, of the need and desire on the part of the actual spirit and the love that is with them in them, and the need that the spirit feels of actually wanting and desiring to make the contact because perhaps of a very important issue, or perhaps that loved one in the physical world doesn't actually believe that they are still living or something like that in the spirit reality. And so they actually make this supreme effort with all of their energy and all of their love to do something, even if it's just for a few moments. And then, of course, it's gone. And sometimes it works. sometimes it will be that the physical person will absolutely languish in that beautiful meeting and recognize that the intensity of love that they share between them, even in that briefest of instances, and that that is such a treasured experience for them to have. Others, of course, will think, perhaps, oh, I was just imagining it. Well, just think for a moment, for those of you who think that you were just imagining it, of the great extent that the spirit world has gone to, and that your loved one has gone to actually bring you that image, to actually bring you that experience. And yet you mourn, perhaps on occasions when you think, oh, I wish they were back in my life again. And then when it actually happens, even for an instant, you think that it's your imagination. Mm. Quite ironic in that respect.
Yes, it is. Sometimes it takes more than one experience to actually maybe, you know, make people realize that it was. But very often it leaves a different sense of feeling within you. I think deep down people do know that it was real.
Yes, absolutely.
But maybe just, you know, question their sanity or their religion or whatever it is that, you know.
Yes.
But I think it does leave a different sense of feeling within you if it is a real experience.
I completely agree. It's exactly the same sense of experience that you have when you see an unidentified flying object.
Yes.
or have a situation with a being from a different planet or
yes.
something like that. You are becalmed, in a sense, and yet energized, ecstatically energized. You have almost this moment when there is absolute silence, and you are completely empathic with that moment, and at one with it, and in harmony with it. You feel as though you have been touched by something ulterior to yourself, an ultra-loving experience in that regard. Which, of course, it is, usually.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for anybody who may be listening today, and you're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about energy. We'd love to hear from you if you have an experience you'd like to share with us, or maybe a comment or a question that you'd like to ask Gregory. And the number is toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, so it won't cost you too much. And that's 001-530-876-3222. So let's talk about other energy.
Yes.
What about things like Feng Shui and the natural earth elements?
Yes.
How does that correlate with spirit world energy?
Well, what you are looking at in that respect are the balances and of harmony which may exist between different property elements, different property held elements of the natural world. So if you are looking at perhaps your own experience, you are looking at, shall we say, a room, and a room that actually has a certain look about it. It may well be that because of your cluttered mind, you have cluttered the room, in which case the whole situation surrounding Feng Shui is actually to do with the natural empathic rules which are governed by the physical natural world and its spirit interactivity from the harmony of the planet itself.
Mm-hmm.
and how that actually transposes in what you see. This is part of the reason, friend, why it is that when you walk into a wood, shall we say, and it's a very natural place, a very natural atmosphere dwells there, and you will see that because of the growth of the trees in the wood and that kind of thing, they learn to share the light together of whatever light there is. So you will have tall trees which actually grow and reduce their branches on the way up purely because of the physical mechanic in part of what is actually happening to the amount of light that they're able to receive because of other trees that are around them. So they're actually sharing the light in a more reciprocal way. And it means to say then that what they're actually doing is that one isn't crowding another out. They're actually being quite unified in this situation. This allows, shall we say, other plants and creatures to grow beneath their branches. Of course, this is not the same if you are looking at a wood which is all coniferous or something like that, because it's a much darker atmosphere. It means that very few other plants will grow beneath it, unless, of course, it is of a more sparser variety. Now, when you look into the situation of the natural world, you see things in a very specifically balanced way. If there is water in a particular place, in a location, you will notice that this is something which attracts energy. It attracts creatures to it, purely by its presence. All creatures of living physical tissue, or at least most of them, need some form of water in order to keep their unique biological levels at a safe pH value, at a safe value for their harmony to be able to actually react perfectly to their balanced nature. If they are not, if they are disharmonic, if their balance is one particular way, then they will either pass or they'll have to move on to a different location. So what actually happens then with the energy of feng shui? You are looking at the situation surrounding a particular place, a particular environment, and you are seeing whether it is balanced, whether its energy is balanced across from one side of the room to the other. If it is, perhaps, that it needs some kind of a vibrancy about it to engage with and to change the atmospheric condition. This is one of the reasons why water is so often used, not just because it's a prime element of Earth physical life, but actually because in respect of the physical properties of water, it is actually going to add a chemical reference to the room itself. This means to say that, for example, if you've ever wondered why it is that you feel quite differently when you are in the vicinity of a waterfall or something like that. And taking into consideration here that many feng shui ideas are really to do with water and and using water from one height to another in order to bring a musical vibrancy to your awareness and also to bring a certain specific physical property to the awareness of the room, which is, of course, the provision of oxygen. And this, of course, is what happens when you engage with a large body of water, when you are in the presence of a waterfall, no matter how large it is, whether you hear small amounts of trickling water or something like that, you're not only listening to the sounds and the music that comes from that environment and that motivation, that movement, which is bringing through to you a calming experience because you are empathizing with its natural location and its natural sounding beauty as a spirit being. You are also aware of the change in molecular structure which happens in the room quite simply because you have water moving within it. And that is something which actually changes the ions in the atmosphere of your room so that you are also recovering more beneficially from a more oxygen-rich environment, quite simply because you've got a small waterfall in your room. Even if it's just trickling water through bamboo pipes or something like that, what you're actually doing is you are bringing a different environment into your room, and it's something which will ease the static charge from the room.
Would you say that, so having water, would most homes benefit from that then?
I would say by and large, probably. Yes.
So, but you're not talking about in every room?
No, I'm not. I'm saying that it needs to be in one specific environment. So what you may well do, of course, for example, is perhaps that you would have water running through a series of pipes or something like that around the house, and that too may actually allow you to have a different environment, a different kind of motivation coming through you. Of course, some people might find it intensely annoying, and just the same as they find traffic noise annoying as well. But of course, all of these things can be dealt with, and really it's up to the individual how they feel about a certain specific environment, what they find pleasing, what they find that actually motivates them in a physical way is something which also has a great empathy, usually, to do with the spirit world and to do with the ether world dynamic, because what you're actually bringing about here is a physical consequence to something and using a physical provision in your physical world, which also has the same empathic in the spirit world. And that's something to remember, I suppose, that just because it's the ether world and it's a non-physical environment doesn't mean to say that we do not replicate certain other physical properties which may exist in physical reality, quite simply because it's not that we don't have a need for it. We do, quite clearly, because many beings who come to our side of life are in a state of mourning, if you like, sometimes. Not every time, but sometimes they are in a state of mourning from the journey that they had in the physical reality. So actually what we use and tend to use is the presence of water and those kinds of environments in order to, not as an illusion, but in order to actually show people that anything is actually possible to do with their physical reality properties that they retained as a spirit being having a physical experience. And, of course, due to their cellular memory, they're able to do that.
What about energy that we try to, shall we say, manipulate into using in our material world, like pyramid technology and that sort of thing? You know what I mean? We try to harness it by recreating certain situations on Earth using some form of geometry and...
I believe it's called sacred geometry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and of course, some people, I understand, even feel that the occasion also warrants it because of this potential of gathering energy that people will sit under it,
mm-hmm.
will even be buried within a chamber that is, will desire to be buried within a chamber that is also a pyramid. I understand that that's something which is happening in Germany at this present time. They're building a pyramid which is four times larger than Giza, I believe.
Right.
Yes,
okay.
And that it's set to become a burial chamber for the masses.
Oh, right, yes.
Yes, and they build it as people are buried there.
Yes. So can you explain the benefits from this?
Well, actually, of course, there won't be any benefit from that whatsoever until the pyramid perhaps may be fully built, which means until the last person is actually put in it.
Okay, and how do you... Why do you
Well, because mean that? Because the structure is incomplete.
Right, okay.
So it'll be just like a building site for 50 years until enough people are buried in it to actually make the four sides of the pyramid state.
Okay, so what about pyramids and using them in your home?
Yes, this is quite an interesting concept. I understand it's from this so-called sacred geometry, and that there are... many people who discuss that there are great properties to do with these geometric shapes in physical reality. And indeed, there are many things to be said for the properties of various other different kinds of objects as well. Snowflakes, for example, have many, many different properties, so say, because of their geometric shapes and the way in which they actually form and supposedly energized by different conditions of atmospheric conditions upon the planet. What you have to understand, however, in dealing with this, is that much of this is suggestive. And I'm not saying that it doesn't exist at all, but I'm saying that much of it, it really is a suggestive practice, and that in some respects, people would say, perhaps they're handed a pyramid and say, here, put this on your head, and they're sitting there with a pyramid on their head, and they say, well, I don't actually feel anything. Of course, the reply will usually be, oh, but that's because you're not spiritually active, dear. Or something like
or
that.
Or could be auto-suggestive, or if they could, did, but it, I
exactly.
suppose you could catch
well, that's what I'm
there.
Saying, really. So much of the situation is up for debate, as I see it, on your side of life, in terms of what we do in the spirit world. We don't use any of that in the spirit world. We don't need of it, quite simply because the spirit world is not a paradigm which needs to have physical objects present in order to present spiritual energy or release of spiritual energy for an individual being, quite simply because that is the matter of their state of being of is. If they are declined, if they're feeling negative about their state of being of is, then we are actually using our own energy, that is other spirit beings, we are using our energy of love toward that being to enlighten them or to heighten their experience of energy. We don't need to put a crystal upon their heads, and we do not need to put a pyramid on their heads either in order for them to feel this energy. So what I'm saying is that people will tend to use different states of this or that. They will attach a light to it or something and say that it's doing this, X, the X factor.
Mm-hmm.
It is creating the X factor, and this is what it is manipulating in your mind, so that you will already be pre-programmed into accepting this as a fact. Or into accepting this as a possibility. Therefore, you heighten your energy toward it. By heightening your energy toward it, you are engaging with pheromonic activity to actually release the tension in your being. So it means to say that it's in effect, you are using a placebo in order to actually bring about a specific reaction. But actually, if you took the placebo away and gave another placebo in its place, you may well bring about the same harmonic exchange. Alternatively, if you used a different placebo, you may bring about nothing, because that person, that single person's generation towards that effect has not been registered in their consciousness. So what you're really dealing with here is the matter of consciousness versus the etheric dimension. And what you presumably say is a fact in physical life is not always a fact in the etheric world or in the universe control continuum, because it very, very often physical realm experiences are due to the physical dynamic properties of the physical realm and actually are not replicated in the spirit world, quite simply because we don't have the same lineage of time versus the logarithmic effect, I suppose, of time and distance equals this. It doesn't in the spirit world. It doesn't exist. So if you could set a pyramid down in the spirit world and people just walk straight through it. They don't even see it because it's not in their memory. So how is it possibly going to be interactive to them? Because it's a non-physical property. And what you are dealing with, in fact, what the transposition is supposed to be, oh, well, yes, but this is harboring this specific spiritual property or concentrating this energy from the universe. From where? From what? From what are you concentrating the energy of the universe into? If it's a non-physical dimensional property, you don't need a physical mechanism specifically to utilize it. That's what I'm saying. All you need is the connection of your being, of love. That is the prime energy source. Factor of the universe, that is what you need to acquiesce to, if you like, and build in your physical system, in your memory, in your consciousness. That's what you need your consciousness for.
Now, there's a couple of things I'd like to say there.
Yes.
You mentioned that we used a contraption called the cabinet contraption.
Yes.
An invention
to
harness the energy, but that actually, the energy was given from human beings and their spirit. Energy.
Yes.
Okay, physical spirit energy.
Yes.
And then you were able to utilize that.
Yes.
So it seems to me that the pyramid situation, for example, I mean, surely the pyramids were situated in a specific position on the planet.
Yes.
To do with the planet and also to do with the universe,
yes,
where they were.
Well, yes, actually to do with very specific star forms,
yes,
formations in the universe. I understand that.
So can we manipulate that situation with physical instruments here on Earth?
Well, in a form, I suppose that is a possibility. So I'm not discounting it. What I'm saying is that as like you paint the property of the cabinet, the property of the cabinet doesn't exist. If you take it apart, if you look at the cabinet itself, it's just a pile of wood and paper, or a pile of wood and cloth. If you take a pyramid apart, it's just a pile of sticks. The only fact of the pyramid itself is that you make it into a pyramid. And if the pyramid was clothed with a cloth, shall we say, it will have exactly the same effect if you stick a medium inside it. It will have exactly the same effect with people giving their energy of love toward that person as if they were standing or sitting in a wooden cabinet of a normal box-like shape. It would have exactly the same effect. That's what I'm saying. The fact that it's a pyramid makes actually no difference itself. What makes the difference is the content of your emotion to it. So, my dear friend, if you are having the content of emotion that you feel you have a specific object, yes, we'll stick with the pyramid if you wish. You have a specific object. The reason why it was so successful in Egyptian times and in other times of life, and why it still is supposed to contain certain specific properties, is because it's of the symbolism of it attracting us to a specific point. Don't forget that the reason why the pyramid was designed as such was to send the spirit of the pharaoh themselves into the ether world via the tip of that journey, of that pyramid. And that was actually supposed to be the situation which drew up the energy from the physical world into a point and would propel the pharaoh onto their journey of light into the spiritual kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That was the purpose of it. The fact that it was designed in a very specific way, linked to other geometric shapes which were formed in the universe because of other natural phenomenon and reality that took place in the forming of that universe, it means to say that I understand that people attach a very spiritual property to that. I'm not disclaiming it. I'm not saying that it's false. But what I'm saying is that the actual detail of reality which comes from that, many human beings place upon it as saying that it's a powerful spiritual property, when in fact what they're doing is illuminating to the actual original vantage of what that property was, what that actual original basis for that design had become. So, if then, on the one hand, you go to Giza itself and admire the pyramid there, you will actually be inspired by being in its presence, partly because of the many hundreds of thousands or millions of people that have visited it and have had the same energy, given the same energy, into that area of situation. So you are looking, and it's exactly the same as when you go into any other building of ancient proportions that many thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of people have visited in the past. Go to the Taj Mahal, then, and glory in the absolute journey that befell that building itself, built for a princess, her tomb, and the situation around it is one of such intensive beauty that you will just marvel at it, at being in the presence of such a divine place. Go to any other situation upon your planet to do with ancient antiquity, Angkor Wat perhaps, and you will also revel and marvel at that, at the very presence of being there, and the whole situation surrounding that will give you this exact same feelings and sensations as if you had sat inside a pyramid or inside box, an oblong box, with loving energy being sent to you. It has the same result. That's what I'm saying. In the physical world, it has the same result. In the spirit reality, what we do with it is that we will concentrate. Yes, we will concentrate different beings in the spirit world in a certain configuration, perhaps, perhaps not. It depends entirely upon the well-wish, upon the health situation, the healing that we want to give to a specific person. And we will perhaps use our energy in a certain way, sending it to them, rotating it around them in a specific direction of one way or another, or of one dimension or another, in order to bring about a certain healing situation for that spirit who has had a physical experience. This is the same situation of properties which can be brought about through to the physical reality. However, many people dismiss it quite simply because it isn't out there enough. It is not figuratively, is not connected with a geometric shape or something like that. And so it's dismissed as being inferior.
So obviously other planets use these sorts of situations as well, because we know that alien races helped to build the pyramids. You've told us this before.
Oh, yes, absolutely so. And you see, but what I'm saying is, right, the whole object of a pyramid is to attract attention. Is to attract attention to a specific in a specific way, so that the whole geometric shape brings focus, and that's what it does. That's what it's designed to do. You could actually stand it on its head, and it would do exactly the same thing. You could have the property of a pyramid lying down on one side, and you could sit in it, and it would do exactly the same thing. It would attract the energy into a specific configuration to bring it to a point. And it will simply mean that you are using the energy coming from other beings and their wellness, their love, their vibration of positivity to that being who is sat within it. And they will experience exactly the same thing, as I say, as though they were sitting in an oblong box.
So what about these other races that use these pyramids then? What do they use them for?
Well, for much of the same thing.
But, okay. And
they too will sometimes use them for healing, or they will use them to bury people in.
Okay. All right. So the ones that helped build the ones that we have,
they
didn't help build them surely for the final result of what we want. They wanted to use them for. What I'm saying is, did they agree that if they built them like that, then the spirit would go out the point of the pyramid? Or did they build them for another reason, and then that we, the human beings, used them for something else?
It was not that they actually built them figuratively. They
helped.
Gave the idea.
Yeah, they helped.
Yes, they helped with the idea. Mm. That's the point, that they planted in the idea. This is the way in which the pharaohs may be dwelling with the gods. Don't forget that the whole situation surrounding the Egyptians was that they were closer, they were God's emissaries, or were gods themselves, and that was actually the power that they had over the people and why they did what they did, because of the power that they used and exuded. And so the whole situation to do with that, in fact, in physical reality, was really aimed at that. Don't forget as well, the pharaohs weren't particularly nice people. They put to death all of the people that ever helped them to build the pyramid in the first place.
Why did they do that?
So that no one would be able to find where they were buried.
That wasn't in the small print on their contract, was it?
Well, no, quite so. I understand that there were a few of them that didn't actually manage to do that, because they actually, many of the, that the majority of the pyramid was actually built before they actually, before the actual pharaoh had passed. It was only in some of the situations where all of the workers, or the majority of the workers, were actually killed ritualistically and then placed inside, either in placed inside the pyramid itself or placed in large trenches around the pyramid itself.
Have they been found?
Well, in some places, yes.
Mm.
Not in everyone. It depends on which pharaoh you're talking about. In the Valley of the Kings, I understand many of the people who were slaves at the time, of course, were not actually present. They had been dispatched after the tomb had been dug, and many of them in the Valley of the Kings, they weren't necessarily buried in pyramids either. They were buried in holes in the side of the mountains and that kind of thing.
Well, that's been fascinating, Gregory. Thank you very much. It's been really interesting.
Yes. Well, with love and light, my dear friend, God bless us. Be upon your pathway.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and do visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us and our books and CDs. You can book an Akashic reading if you like. And my name is Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.